Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's time for a free agency preview. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Warmly, joined as I am by Andrew Erickson. Not every week I get to the offseason, not fair to say, but as many weeks as we can, I am joined by Andrew Erickson. Erickson, before we get to our guest, I have to ask you, I just saw you in Dallas last week. Have you recovered from the team trip, hanging out with myself and Joey P and Debro and Fitz and Friedman and Thor and everybody else?
Yes, I'm fully recovered. Happy to report, week over after breaking my ankles, basically trying to get open on a route. I have fully recovered. So happy about that. Back at the gym, energized and ready to talk some free agency, man.
I am glad that you mentioned that video. For anybody who missed it, please go to the Fantasy Pros Twitter page. We were running some routes, some one-on-ones on sports day on the team trip. And Erickson attempted to run a crisp route and it didn't go well. I don't want to give away any more than that, but it's worth it looking it up if you want a good laugh out loud moment. And I appreciate you being a good sport about that. Our guest today, Nick Scripp, creator of P2W Fantasy at P2W Fantasy on Twitter. Nick, thank you so much for making the time to join us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have some good stuff to talk about. I know we have some quiet moments in the off season. We're all drooling at the combine, but I'm glad to talk some football here today. And just talking about that video, I did see that, Erickson. I will say it was a PI and the ghost that tripped you up, so they need to look into that.
Oh my gosh, we have fun here. We do our best to try and look like we're athletes, but we're very clearly not when you see videos like that. Nick, like I said, thank you for coming on. Andrew Erickson, at Andrew Erickson _ on Twitter. I'm at Ryan Warmly. That's Warmly like how you dress when it's cold outside. We are doing a free agency preview show here. We're going to be predicting where some of these guys at every major position end up, maybe even some defensive players as well. We'll see how much time we have during the show. I want to start at the top, though, with a couple of guys who were on our list, but just this week, we've already found out where they're going to be playing next season. It's three quarterbacks. We'll go through them pretty quickly. Nick, I want to start with you. Daniel Jones did re-sign with the Giants. They were going to put the tag on him, even if he didn't. They did get that extension in. So just quick expectations for him in New York next season.
I think we saw a big change in Daniel Jones with Brian Daboll. And I think the system was set up for him to be successful. Obviously, they utilized his rushing ability. He was very competent with the ball. He didn't turn over the ball nearly as much as he did in the past. Career highs in many different categories. Now I think we're just looking to see how they build upon what they have. They were a playoff team. They're probably missing now some pass catching options. So we're looking at a guy that was just a top 10 fantasy quarterback, had a good year with their brand new head coach. How do they build on this, which will hopefully help him even further in the fantasy world?
Erickson, quickly on Jones, just do you think he needs to add a wide receiver or two for you to be super gung-ho about him going into next season, or is the rushing floor high enough? Him paired with Daboll, obviously, like Nick said, looked really nice last year. What do you think about him in 2023?
Yeah, I think that adding another weapon would be ideal for Daniel Jones. And I guess my only concern is, do they try to dial back the rushing? You know, it's easy to dial up rushing attempts for a quarterback when you don't know if he's going to be on your team next year. Changes a little bit when you've signed into a long-term contract. So Daniel Jones is going to be more expensive than he was last year, which I don't love, but he's still kind of going in that later round where people still aren't buying in. It's like, hey, I'll buy into the fact and hope that he can take maybe a mini Josh Allen type of leap with Daboll.
Nick, the other guy who is going to be returning to the same team from last year, Geno Smith, who had a career year in Seattle last season, although it was really kind of front weighted in the first part of his schedule. He played a lot better than he did in the back half of the season, but still an overall, like I said, career year for him. He re-signed with Seattle. I think it was a 3-year deal. What do you make of him going into 2023?
Yeah, I think he was just a guy that was effective getting the ball into his playmakers' hands. I mean, if you look at the yards per attempt, his QBR, his completion percentage, those were all very good things. He was good at just doing his job at the end of the day. And 6 top 10 fantasy weeks. I don't think he is a guy that you're going to draft and expect to, you know, win your fantasy league by drafting him, but I think he balances out fantasy rosters in a decent way. So when you got the likes of Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, he looked good with both of those guys. They were both top 16 fantasy options with Geno Smith. I think we should see pretty similar to what we saw this past season. Again, a decent quarterback for fantasy, maybe not a league winner necessarily.
And then Erickson, the quarterback who has changed teams already, Derek Carr, has signed with the Saints already. Obviously, played with the Raiders for the last several seasons since coming into the NFL. What do you make of him in New Orleans?
I mean, he's fine. Like, I have him quarterback 20 in my rankings. I think that's exactly where he should be because he's not going to be a difference maker. We've seen enough Derek Carr to kind of know like who he is at this point. And, you know, dropping him in New Orleans doesn't really change. Okay, he had good weapons with the Raiders for a lot of different seasons. And really, we have never really seen him put up a QB1 like year. So I think at worst, he's just kind of giving some stability to some of the receivers like Chris Olave, like an Alvin Kamara, if he's going to come back, just kind of providing some stability. The one thing about Carr I want to point out last year was he had his highest average depth of target last year. So he was chucking the ball downfield very aggressively. That obviously did not work out. So if they're going to dial it back in a little bit more, kind of keep him more conservative, I think it's good for his receivers and pass catch. But I think for him, it's like, you don't need to draft Derek Carr. Like in a 2-quarterback league, I think he'll be fine. But I don't think that he's going to be the real difference maker. Like him versus the other two guys, I'd much rather have Geno Smith, much rather have Daniel Jones.
All right, let's jump into the quarterbacks who we don't know their landing spots yet. And there's different sort of angles to each of these. It's going to be Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Jackson, of course, is on the non-exclusive franchise tag. Aaron Rodgers, not a free agent, but potentially on the move. Kind of seems like his time in Green Bay is done. Let's start with Lamar because he's the biggest name, of course, in terms of just what we would expect from him going into next season. So, Erickson, on Lamar, obviously, I am a Ravens fan. It's impossible for me to be perfectly biased on this conversation. There's so many moving parts to this scenario. So what do you expect out of Lamar in terms of landing spot? How much will his landing spot determine what you expect from him in fantasy next year? What do you make of this whole situation?
I think he's landing spot agnostic, honestly, because I think that his rushing ability kind of carries him and buoys him in fantasy. And again, if he goes back to the Ravens, we kind of know what to expect. But the expectation with the Ravens is he still doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to. So it's like it's a big issue with his lack of weapons where, theoretically speaking, like a team that I think that could really bring him in potentially is like the Las Vegas Raiders. He signs with the Raiders. Oh my God, he's got Devontae Adams. He's got Darren Waller. Like, he's got Hunter Renfrow. Like, he's like loaded with different weapons more so than you'd have in Baltimore. So although you'd like to see him go back to Baltimore because he's obviously familiar with the coaching staff there, it is a new offensive coordinator with Todd Monken there. So it's not necessarily going to be the same offense, whereas he could go to a different team where he could actually be even better. And I just want to point out, when he had weapons last year, 6 games played with Rashad Bateman, 27 fantasy points per game, Lamar Jackson. Like, I don't understand, like, why I do understand why I shouldn't say that, like the contract disputes, because he wants a fully guaranteed contract. Like, that's why there are issues with him signing a long-term deal, because the Ravens offered him a deal, but it wasn't fully guaranteed. And the precedent set by Deshaun Watson, who is basically screwing over Lamar Jackson, is the real issue here. So I think Jackson is still going to be a top 5 fantasy quarterback, honestly, regardless of where he goes. 69.5 rushing yards per game in 2022, which was second only to Justin Fields. And he was still really good as a thrower. PFF, highest graded thrower from 10 to 19 yards downfield at the intermediate level, was Lamar Jackson. Like, this guy can throw, this guy can run, he can do it all. And God, if I had 2 first round picks, he'd be on my team.
Nick, we'll move through most of these guys pretty quickly, but Lamar is obviously the biggest story of the offseason in the NFL and fantasy in every scenario here. So I just want to get your opinion too quickly. Would you rather see him stay in Baltimore under the new offensive coordinator, the idea that maybe they draft a wide receiver in the first round to pair with Bateman and Andrews, or do you just want to see him get out of Baltimore for fantasy purposes?
I'm in big agreement with Erickson here. The fact that, you know, wherever he ends up in 2023, he's going to have that top five upside. In Baltimore, the first three games of the season, he was QB1 in two out of three of them. He had 10 passing touchdowns in those three games to open up the season. We're looking at a guy who's done it in the system he's had before without a true alpha wide receiver. I mean, he had Hollywood Brown, Mark Andrews. I like that plug also with the Raiders, because we view him regardless as a top five option, but now we can see him potentially in a system where he has his Mark Andrews in Darren Waller. And now he has a Davante Adams that he's never had in his career. So that to me would scream QB1 upside. He could be drafted as a QB1 in fantasy should he land in a spot like that. But again, just like Erickson said, top five upside regardless, with the potential, though, to be in a system where, again, he has an alpha wide receiver, which he's never had.
Nick, I'll stick with you on the next quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Like I mentioned, not a free agent technically, but again, a guy that seems like he might wind up somewhere else in 2023. Clearly spent his whole career with the Packers. Just seems like they're kind of ready to give Jordan Love a chance at this point. Rodgers met with the Jets. Is that the team you're looking at, or is there somebody else that you'd like to see Rodgers land, or that you would predict where he's going to land?
It looks like the Jets are pretty promising. Just hearing about the executives and Saleh going to Cali, coming back, super optimistic. And I think the system has more upside than the general, fans of the NFL and fans of the Jets might want to acknowledge. I mean, I looked at games that Mike White and Joe Flacco had this past season. One of the upside categories for fantasy I look at sometimes is the percentage of games played with 300 plus passing yards. And Mike White had that mark, 300 plus passing yards in two out of four games, Joe Flacco in two out of five games. And those are the two backup quarterbacks. So we're looking at a system he can be, you know, shifting into after a terrible season for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he had career lows in so many different categories. And now we're going into a system where two backup quarterbacks were pretty successful airing it out. I think for fantasy, you know, is it going to catapult him into this top five drafted fantasy quarterback? Probably not. I think it's going to be more of a domino effect of, hey, what do we do with Garrett Wilson's ranking? Are we back in on Elijah Moore? Tyler Conklin. We can talk about Breece Hall if he's healthy. All these different pieces. It'll be interesting to see if he does end up going to the Jets, where everybody else is drafted in fantasy, because I do think there's a lot of, you know, guys that can be boosted. For Aaron Rodgers, though, Could he be a low end quarterback one? Maybe, you know, sure. But I think it's more about the pieces in this offense.
Erickson, let's get to the last quarterback here. Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy who has had a lot of different narratives about him in his career. Obviously, you watch him closely in New England. So where is his best landing spot this offseason? Where do you think he's going to land? And what would you make of that for fantasy purposes?
Yeah, it seems like he's probably just going to land on the team that doesn't get who they actually want. So he's like, he's basically the backup play. It's like, right, we didn't get Rodgers, we didn't get Jackson, so we got to get Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, that's the backup plan. So I have him pegged, again, the Jets. They don't get Rodgers. Makes a lot of sense that he would end up back with Robert Saleh, who's obviously his connection with him dating back to the 49ers. You're looking at the Las Vegas Raiders. Again, Josh McDaniels is the head coach there. So it makes a lot of sense if they can't get Lamar Jackson. I mean, specifically with the Raiders, who really don't have any quarterbacks on their roster right now. You know, Derek Carr is already a Saint. Jared Stidham is also a free agent too. So the Raiders really don't have any quarterbacks. So Garoppolo, especially based on his injury history, don't think he's going to command a lot of money on the open market. Carolina is another option there as well if they want to bring in a different veteran from the guys that they have. They only have Matt Corral right now under contract. So, and it's just going to be worse, honestly, for Garoppolo. He was QB21 in points per game last year, despite playing in like one of the most friendliest offenses you could ask for any quarterback. Just weapons galore. Never finished higher than QB14. Never played more than 16 games once in an NFL season. So, yeah, he can support, you know, some weapons here and there. It could be a potential upgrade, but don't go chasing any ADP boom from a team that lands Jimmy Garoppolo.
Before we get to the rest of the show, I quickly want to let everybody know how to get ahead of the competition with our 2023 Dynasty Draft Kit at fantasypros.com/dynasty with expert rankings, trade advice, combine coverage, Dynasty rookie profiles, position primers, and more. You'll have everything you need to dominate your draft for free But upgrading to premium does unlock even more draft strategy content in our kit, along with access to our Discord, which allows you to directly interact with our analysts, including Erickson and Debro and everybody else. Unlock the secrets to crushing your dynasty draft with our dynasty draft kit today at fantasypros.com/dynasty. Let's get into the running backs. Erickson, Miles Sanders, what do you want to see out of him this offseason?
I think he's not coming back to the Philadelphia Eagles, because just kind of looking at the top ranked running backs coming into free agency, you know, I had Miles Sanders at number four, thinking, all right, like, okay, he's like up there in the top five. And then I realized, oh, the top three guys ahead of him all got the franchise tag. So right now on the open market, Miles Sanders is probably the best highly viewed running back, but that's not good for him to come back to the Eagles, who Howie Roseman's not going to pay a running back serious money. Like, we know that. So I think that with Sanders, you're hoping that he can land somewhere where he can be an early down running back. Like, the pass catching with him has been super inconsistent up and down his career. He did it his rookie year and has basically fallen off ever since then. The two teams that I kind of peg him to are the Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it has solely to do with the coaches that are in place there. Obviously, Carolina has a whole new coaching staff on their offense. Deontay Foreman is a free agent. Deuce Staley, formerly of the Lions, also formerly of the Eagles, former Eagles running back, he coached up Miles Sanders his first 2 years with Philadelphia. So he's the new running back coach for the Carolina Panthers. Frank Reich is a former Eagles coach. Josh McCown, the new quarterback coach in Carolina, was Miles Sanders' teammate when Josh McCown was 40 years old and the Eagles starting quarterback for a couple games. So Carolina, and then Doug Peterson, there's obviously a connection there with them in Jacksonville. Doug Peterson actually recently talked about adding another running back to their backfield alongside Travis Etienne. Miles Sanders, again, if he's not going to be used as a pass catcher, maybe they move Etienne into a larger pass catching role where Miles Sanders operates earlier on down. So I still think that he's someone that's going to regress from, I mean, his numbers were boosted by touchdowns playing behind an elite offensive line. So really, I'm not excited about Miles Sanders, and I think I'd probably try to stay away from him in most cases. Even if he returned to the Eagles, his touchdown numbers were just going to go down because you're playing alongside a mobile quarterback like Hurts, who's going to steal rushing touchdowns. So right now he's my RB25. And this is just kind of a range of running back. Like, he's going to be drafted like in the dead zone. So I'm probably going to stay away.
I mean, just quickly on this, but that would be pretty disappointing for fantasy managers if he goes to Jacksonville, right? Because then it's not just limiting his ceiling, but it's limiting ETN's as well.
Yeah, no, it's look, we all want every like one running back to have all the touches, but there are more than 32 running backs. So there's going to be a couple spots that are just like, this sucks for everybody, but you know, Jacksonville has money to burn, and if they want more playmakers, then this is what they would do. They don't really have a lot of other running backs. They have Hasty, they have Etienne, but, you know, they were fine having James Robinson and Etienne kind of split touches in the earlier part of last year. So, look, Doug Peterson, if he likes Miles Sanders, I would not surprise me at all for them to go back and get him.
Nick, the other prominent Penn State running back in the NFL, Saquon Barkley, did get the franchise tag, but also, like Lamar, the non-exclusive tag. I think it's fair to assume a team's probably not going to give up multiple, you know, high-level picks plus signing him to a big deal. So it's probably fair to assume he's going to be in New York. So in New York, operating under that assumption, what do you make of Barkley in 2023 quickly?
Great season, career high in rushing yards, 17.8 fantasy points per game, double-digit touchdowns. And I think there's a few missing pieces to what could have been for Barkley. So he, again, top five finish for him, true running back one upside in New York. He had zero receiving touchdowns this season. He didn't get a ton of red zone work. I think he had 38, 39 touches in the red zone. So I think we saw a guy that, you know, had flashbacks to what we expected out of his career, major bounce back. So I think New York's a good spot for him to be in, just seeing how great of a season he had, and he can do even more things in this offense. So second highest snap share this season, second most breakaway runs. We saw the traditional Saquon Barkley.
None of the other running back names are as big as those two, but still some really interesting pieces that could provide a ton of value depending on where they land during this sort of free agency carousel. So Erickson, let's go to Rashad Penny, who entered the year as a starter in Seattle, obviously was hurt, and then Kenneth Walker just blew up and took over that backfield, is going to be the starter going forward. So with Penny, where do you think we're going to see him land?
Yeah, Rashad Penny, look, man, for a couple of games every year, the guy is dynamite. 6 yards per carry, just elite running back, but he can't be a starter. He's never going to survive an entire season, and that means he's going to be cheap. So there are two teams that I think that he could really potentially give benefit to, and he has connections with both of them. So Tampa Bay, has a spot open now that they've released Leonard Fournette. Rashad White is there, like him as the starter. But their new offensive coordinator, Dave Canales, you know, he's been with Seattle since 2018 when Rashad Penny was drafted. So they could bring him in as a backup, you know, secondary back to Rashad White. So I think Tampa Bay is a good option. And then the other one is Dallas. If they don't bring back Zeke, Brian Schottenheimer, Mike McCarthy, all they want to do is run the football. And Rashad Bunny can at least do that, and he's going to be cheap. So those are the two teams I think would be best pits for Penny. And if he gets potential spot starts, like, you can play Rashad Penny in fantasy. And right now he's like going outside the top 60 running backs. I think he's kind of a good value.
Nick, we heard Erickson mention Leonard Fournette getting released by Tampa. What do you think of him in free agency, and where do you expect him to land?
So I would think a true contender is going to want Leonard Fournette. And I have this this mirrored situation. He was with a 2022 rookie running back in Tampa with Rashad White. Why not pair him again with a 2022 rookie running back, but this time in Buffalo? I feel like Buffalo is a team that is always right there. How do we get better? How do we get better? Let's not just give James Cook a workhorse role. Let's bring in Lombardi Lenny, a guy that's been very successful the last few years, catching passes, punching in touchdowns. They're a contender. I think a contender is going to want Fournette. So to me, it makes sense for him to be in Buffalo paired with James Cook in that backfield.
I think that's a really great pairing. Erickson, what do you think about that?
No, I like that one a lot. Buffalo is definitely one of those teams that I know I've mock drafted Bijan Robinson to them a ton during my mock drafts, to the dismay of many Bills fans. But fantasy is like, oh, let's go, baby. Like, let's ready to rock and roll. But yeah, I mean, Singletary, not a lot of upside. And James Cook, I just don't envision ever as a guy that's going to be carrying the ball 20, 25 times per game. So they need to establish some type of running game besides Josh Allen in Buffalo. And I think Fournette, you know, even though at an older age, I think he can still bring the hammer, even if it's a little bit slower.
Nick, what's your prediction for Singletary this offseason?
Yeah, Singletary, I think, is going to end up being elsewhere. I think he's going to be a guy that's just going to be a compliment running back at the end of the day. Where he ends up going, I again, think it's just going to be a change of pace sort of handcuff. Where that's at, it could it be a Denver? Could it be Miami? You know, Miami kind of stands out a little bit just because I feel like looking at what they did this past season with Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert, they wanted, you know, two guys kind of touching the ball that can maybe bring a little bit of flair. Maybe that's something Miami does if they can't get, you know, a running back that they're really aiming for, with both of those guys probably set to leave. So maybe a compliment piece in a fast-paced offense.
Erickson, talk to me about Damian Harris.
Yeah, Damian is not going back to the Patriots. Like, I'm saying that straight up. Like, that's not happening. They never pay running backs. They drafted his two replacements with Kevin Harris and Pierre Strong in last year's draft. So it's going to be Ramondre. I know Bijan has been mocked to the Patriots too, which would just absolutely kill my Stevenson stonks all over the place. But hey, that's okay. I'd be very excited to see Bijan Robinson in Patriots jersey. But for Harris, look, he is really just that red zone back at this point. Like, he's an efficient running back, but the last 2 years he's been hurt, so not really reliable. Don't think he's going to be a starter anywhere. I think he's going to be a handcuff, but kind of in the ilk of like a Jamal Williams from last year, where, you know, if he just carves out that red zone role, you could see him scoring multiple double digit touchdowns on a team. I mean, he scored just as many rushing touchdowns inside the 5 yard line as Ramondre did last year. And Damian didn't even play that much last year. So, you know, teams that I'm kind of connecting him towards, you know, the Eagles, if they're going to move on from Sanders, he could be their red zone back. Brian Daboll, which I think in the Giants, think Singletary and Harris both have a chance to be a Giant. You know, they don't have Matt Breida anymore, so they have to have a backup for Saquon Barkley, who's on the franchise tag. So that's 1 year. So they still haven't fully extended out to signing Barkley. So they need to add another running back to back him up, especially because based on his injury history. And then obviously the Raiders is low hanging fruit with a guy that's formerly from the Patriots. Josh Jacobs is obviously going to be returning to the Raiders, but, you know, are they enthralled with Zamir White as their backup running back? Maybe not. They get Damian Harris on the cheap. He would make sense and be, again, a thorn in the side of Josh Jacobs, who maybe not have the biggest workload for 2 years in a row.
You mentioned that he could be maybe this year's Jamal Williams. Well, last year's Jamal Williams, aka Jamal Williams, is also on this list. So what's your prediction for him? Does he go back to Detroit where he had the best year of his career? Obviously scored all those touchdowns. I mean, in half PPR, I think he was running back 8 last season, just on the strength of all that goal line work. So what's your prediction for him? And can he, not that we're going to predict 17 touchdowns next season, but does he still have a fairly high ceiling if he lands in the right spot that will use him in a similar way?
I don't see him leaving Detroit. They love him there. Like they just absolutely like all these other running backs. Like, yeah, they're gone. Like Jamal Williams. Nah, man, this guy's staying. Like Dan Campbell loves this man. They love him there. Ben Johnson. And they don't like Swift. Like it's pretty clear that they like Jamal Williams a lot more than Swift. So if they're going to commit any type of compensation to one of these running backs, Swift is entering a contract year. Like Jamal Williams is the guy they want to have. So I think that he's going to end up being a value again. And yeah, he doesn't need to score 17 touchdowns, but can he score 10 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns? Probably. Like what's changed about his role? Like why would his role change? Like what is different besides the fact that Deuce Daly is now in Carolina? The offensive coordinator, the head coach are all the same, and they still don't like DeAndre Swift. So I think that Williams is going to be a value. He's my RB35, and I even think that's too low. You know, I don't even know if we're going to see a massive shock and, oh, Jamal Williams is a Lion again. It's like, if he's a Lion again, like he's probably going to be a top 24 running back again. You're probably not going to have to draft him that high.
And there are some folks in some betting circles that are saying maybe the Lions for Lamar, which we know he opens up running lanes for his backs. I think Jamal would be a great fit in the Lamar Jackson offense. So that would be really, really fun to see. Nick, talk to me about David Montgomery.
So Montgomery, when I think of him, I don't think he's going to be back in Chicago. He had a pretty mediocre season, a lot of career lows, wasn't super efficient. I think they move on from him. I look, and we kind of mentioned it earlier with Carolina and Deonta Foreman. To me, when I think of Deonta Foreman, I start thinking about David Montgomery a little bit, little bit bigger, thicker of a running back for their early down work to kind of pound the rock. In Carolina, I feel like that's a good fit for him. He's a guy that's going to need a lot of touches. I mean, his big value was his sophomore season with his top five finish because he touched the ball a lot and he had 54 receptions. Is he going to get the same sort of receiving work if he does go to a Carolina? Probably not, but could he be that Deonta Foreman, carry the load, be that grinder? I think that sort of system would fit him a bit better. So if I had to predict the new Deonta Foreman, Dave Montgomery.
Yeah, and then, of course, Khalil Herbert managers would be pretty over the moon to see Montgomery gone. Erickson, last running back here, Kareem Hunt, a guy that you've talked about a lot, you know, throughout the course of the last season. What's your prediction for him? And we've seen him be an elite running back in fantasy at some points in his career. Can he get back there in the right spot?
Yeah, because he's going to be a Philadelphia Eagle. So they're going to move on from Miles Sanders, because Kareem Hunt's not going to command as much on the open market that Miles Sanders will. Kareem Hunt is older. Kareem Hunt is coming off a horrible season where I honestly don't know what the Browns were doing. Like, I don't understand why they didn't use him. Basically, after week one, they just stopped using him like they had done every single year up to this point. So I think that he's going to land in Philly. We see Howie Roseman has a connection with John Dorsey, who drafted Hunt in Kansas City, helped bring him to Cleveland after he was released with the Chiefs. They were linked to Hunt before the trade deadline last year. So I've just seen too much smoke between Kareem Hunt and the Philadelphia Eagles to think it's not going to happen. I really think it's going to happen. And Hunt, I think, could be an RB1 in this offense if he really gets the full workload that Miles Sanders got. We know he can catch passes out of the backfield. So I know that Kenneth Gainwell, we're going to see like a boosted spike in his ADP, like for the, you know, 10 hours that he's slotted in as the RB1, but it's going to be, oh, well, then they signed Kareem Hunt and then, oh, well, Kenneth Gainwell, you had your chance. You had your window to sell, and then poof, it's gone.
We're going to move to the receivers. And Erickson, I want to start with you with Michael Thomas. And I want to hear what your prediction is and maybe was, but there are some tweets coming out as we record saying that the Saints are working to try to extend Thomas. There's nothing like imminent yet as of the time we're recording. So it's not like this is some sort of official breaking news, but just keep that in mind that they are trying to keep him in New Orleans. But what's your prediction and sort of what's your ideal landing spot for him? Or is it just staying in New Orleans?
Well, I mean, he is under contract still with the Saints. So like he's still technically like a Saint until they decide to either cut him or trade him. So I think that's the logical landing spot for him. I mean, like what team feels confident about, oh, well, we got to go get Michael Thomas. Like, I mean, no one is confident in Michael Thomas right now, just based on the injuries. You know, he just turned 30. His career lows across the board in receiving metrics before he got hurt. I mean, 2019 was a long time ago, guys. Like, it was been a long, it's 2023 right now since we've seen like full blown elite Michael Thomas. The quarterbacks have changed so many times. So look, for him, he's my wide receiver 59. I just don't have any confidence that he's really going to turn around. Can he beat that in ADP? Probably, if he's healthy, but why draft the headache? That could be Michael Thomas again. So, and I do think he will stay with the Saints. You know, after they signed Derek Carr, he tweeted, "Thank you, Jesus." So that's kind of an interesting little tidbit that he seems happy that they brought in Derek Carr. So I think that he would stay. If he had to go to a different team, though, I would say the team that could potentially be a dark horse to get at him would be the Detroit Lions. And that's because Dan Campbell spent a lot of time with the Saints before becoming the head coach of the Detroit Lions from 2016 to 2020. So he saw like the Michael Thomas at his peak. So look, you have St. Brown, you have Jameson Williams, who really still hasn't played that much, but DJ Chark is a free agent. And there's really not a lot of depth after St. Brown. So if the Lions are trying to make a playoff push, they need a veteran body. Michael Thomas is an interesting name to kind of keep tabs on potentially landing in Detroit.
Nick, let's move to Jacoby Myers, who is almost getting to the point where he's so underrated that he becomes overrated. He's certainly not at that point yet, but he's one of those guys that we've heard for like a year and a half now how underrated he is. It would be really fun to see him in a more dynamic offense. Where do you want to see him land, and where do you expect to see him land?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. When I think of last year with Christian Kirk getting the bag and everybody's like, he got paid that amount of money. That's what I think is going to happen with Jacoby Myers. I'm not going to say he's going to get the same, you know, sort of money to that extent, but I think that's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to pay him a lot. And who, no bias here, who can pay him a lot of money? I think Chicago can pay him a lot of money. They have so much money to work with. Let's say they don't go and get their alpha. They have Darnell Mooney is the field stretcher. Maybe, you know, Chase Claypool could be a big play guy, maybe some touchdown upside. I don't know. But then they add Jacoby Myers, the guy that's intermediate, absorbs most of the targets. And I think that's a little bit more of a balanced offensive system from the passing side for Chicago. So again, when I'm thinking, hey, somebody's going to have to pay this guy a lot of money, who can really, you know, use a target leader in their offense, I think it's Chicago. And we've seen Jacoby Myers be the go-to for Mac Jones. And I think he could be that sort of player for Justin Fields intermediately, which I think Chicago desperately needs.
I love the comp to the Christian Kirk situation last year. I think that's a great call. Myers is one of those guys who there's no offense that couldn't use him. He seems really like you can plug and play him almost anywhere. The Bears, of course, like you mentioned, they do have the most money. I think even if they did trade for like a DeAndre Hopkins, for example, you could then also add Myers and be fine. I mean, depth in the wide receiver room has never been more important in the NFL than it is right now. So I think that's a pretty good call. And I'll probably be in on Myers pretty much wherever he lands, because it's hard to imagine him being in a less dynamic offense than he was in this last season. Erickson, I want to talk to you about one of the most intriguing names on the market, a guy who didn't play last year, Odell Beckham Jr., who obviously was really good during his short time in Los Angeles. Where do you think he winds up this offseason?
Future Buffalo Bill, Odell Beckham Jr. I feel pretty confident about this call too. I know that he was flirting with a couple other teams during last year's playoff run, met with Dallas, New York, Giants, 49ers, Chiefs, and the Buffalo Bills. But when you're just looking at team dynamic, team need, the Bills need another wide receiver opposite Stephon Diggs and Von Miller. Von Miller talks to Odell Beckham Jr. all the freaking time. Like, they are best buds. And I think one of the interesting signings that the Bills made and their coaching staff is their new wide receiver coach, Adam Henry. Adam Henry coached OBJ at LSU, at the Giants, and in Cleveland. And now he's in Buffalo. There, that is not a coincidence that that happened. So I'm putting all of the everything together, and Odell Beckham is going to be a Buffalo Bill when it's all said and done.
Obviously, OBJ probably wouldn't have much of an impact on how we evaluate Stephon Diggs. How much would that impact how you evaluate Gabe Davis, who had a ton of hype coming into 2022, had some flashes, but obviously didn't live up to it in terms of the consistency? So what would you make of him if the Bills brought in OBJ? Would they sort of cannibalize each other in that offense?
Three words: post-hype sleeper. Gabe Davis, because everybody will write him off. He's like, oh, well, he's dead. He's horrible. Even though he was playing with like an ankle injury, basically for a lot of last year. And it honestly would probably put him into a role where he was never going to see a lot of volume in this offense. But you have OBJ on one side, you have Diggs on the other side, and now you can have a player like Gabe Davis just making splash play after splash play down the field with Josh Allen. So I think that he probably actually put up probably like similar production that he did this year, which he did have his weeks here and there, but he's going to cost a fraction of what he cost last year. So yeah, I'll be back in on Gabe Davis. Let's ride.
Nick, from one elite offense in the AFC to another, Juju Smith-Schuster from Kansas City this past season, obviously won a Super Bowl. Where do you expect to see him land?
So plenty of rumors are saying that the Chiefs are going to be right back in. James Palmer of NFL Network came out and said the expectation is that he's back in Kansas City. If that's the case, you know, we can ask ourselves, hey, is there a chance that year two, the Mahomes-Juju connection grows? We can also ask ourselves, hey, like, I know Mecole Hardman and, you know, MVS may, you know, Mecole's going to probably be gone. MVS, maybe not a big threat, but does Kadarius Toney's role grow? Does Sky Moore have a little bit more of a piece of this offense? I think if he is back in Kansas City, it's more likely that he has a very similar year that he did to this season. He was wide receiver 27 overall, average 11-ish points per game. I think that would be more of what would be likely out of Juju if he does stay in Kansas City. I do want to say as well, though, in the past when teams were trying to get Juju, Baltimore was one of the teams that was interested. So I wonder if they make a push in their offense. Again, big question marks with, you know, Lamar Jackson. Is he going to be back? Are they going to work to get him back? But in that Baltimore offense from a team that had interest in him before, with Bateman not really having much else, DeMarcus Robinson, Devin Duvernay, like pieces that really – you don't really have, you know, big aspirations for in their offense. Does Baltimore go in and make a push? And does that offense look different with Andrews, Bateman, and Juju? But I would guess he's back in Kansas City just based off of reports that came out.
It's an interesting point because I think with the Ravens, you know, when you ask the guys in the building, like when Hollywood Brown left, he said it wasn't Lamar wasn't the reason he wanted to leave. It was, I mean, I don't know if he actually said the name, but he alluded to it. It was Greg Roman and just the way they utilize receivers and the schemes and the offense and play calling and all of that stuff. That's from guys inside the building. But Juju, when he ultimately did not pick Baltimore, did also allude to the offense being a big reason why. I wonder if, let's assume Lamar is back in Baltimore, I wonder if the offensive coordinator change will sort of assuage some of those concerns for free agent wide receivers, or if there is something to maybe some of them are a little worried about playing with Lamar. I think that would be silly. I think a lot of his passing limitations were driven by the offensive coordinator and not his own skill set, but that is a really interesting angle to see now that they finally moved to what should be a more diverse passing game, regardless of who's at quarterback, really. Erickson, let's stick with the Chiefs receivers, and I want to ask you about Mecole Hardman. You know, the Chiefs didn't really replace Tyreek Hill last season. It didn't matter because they still went out and won the Super Bowl. But is he a guy that you think they're going to be happy or not happy, but like willing to let go? Or do you think he winds up back in KC?
No, I think he's gone. I think they have other dynamic weapons. Kadarius Toney can do a lot of things Mecole Hardman can do from a punt return standpoint, from, you know, taking handoffs. He has that element of speed that he can deliver that Mecole Hardman also has. So I think Hardman is gone. And I like his landing spot with the New York Giants. Like, that's where I'm pegging him to go. Being reunited with Mike Kafka, who obviously has ties back to Kansas City. And the Giants, oh my God, this team needs just receiver bodies. And they need, specifically, they need speed. Like, they had no speed at wide receiver last year at all. Mecole Hardman can deliver at least that. Will he do anything besides being a gadget player? Probably not. But again, we're talking about Daniel Jones adding in weapons. Look, Mecole Hardman, there's a reason why his passer rating when targeted is so freaking high. One is because Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback, but two is because he scores a lot of long plays and a lot of touchdowns. So that's going to be good for Daniel Jones to bring in a speedster like Mecole Hardman. He's not going to cost a lot for the Giants to bring in. And like I said, has a connection with offensive coordinator Mike Kafka.
Nick, let's move to DJ Chark. And where would you like to see him land, and what would your expectations be?
It's funny that I'm going to just piggyback off of what was just said, but I like DJ Chark in New York. And I know that was just said, but when I look at what they're losing over there, obviously not big names, but Richie James is going to be gone. Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, who could be the new Darius Slayton, but maybe a better version if he's healthy. I think DJ Chark kind of could play that role. We saw little flashes in Detroit. He had a banged up season, but games of 98, 94, 108 receiving yards, little flashbacks to 2019 Chark when he had that big receiving year. But I'm looking at a team like what was just mentioned in New York, that truly needs some pass catchers and needs a downfield threat. And I think Chark can be that Slayton to make those big plays if he is indeed healthy. So we saw some decent flashes in Detroit. Same sort of thing in New York. It's a need of theirs. So if it's Hardman, if it's Chark, I think we're kind of talking about the same thing that team can use.
Yeah, I think the better question might be which receivers wouldn't be a fit in New York, and the answer is none of them, because like Erickson said, they need bodies. Erickson, last receiver here, another NFC North guy, Alan Lazard. Where do you predict he winds up, and how bullish would you be on his fantasy outlook for 2023?
I do want to mention before hitting on Lazard, I think that Chark would also fit really well with the Chargers. Like, they need a vertical threat just so that Justin Herbert cannot just be check down king. I want to see Justin Herbert throw the ball downfield. Okay. I said it. I had to get it off my chest before the show ended. I want to see Justin Herbert throw the deep ball. I'm sorry. Like, if that makes me a bad person, then
you do not need to apologize for that. And they're getting
unbelievable.
This isn't a mock draft show, but a lot of the mock drafts that you see early are giving them a receiver at 21, I think is their pick. So it seems like they're going to plan to address that at some point, whether in free agency or the draft. They have to,
one way or another, or we riot. You know, that's what's going to happen. But Alan Lazard, I think that the Bears, again, a team that needs receivers and a team that wants receivers that can block. Like, that's like the thing with Lazard, is I think Lazard's actually going to get paid a lot more than people think. Not just because he's a good red zone player. He's put up decent production over the last couple of years with Aaron Rodgers, but he's a really good blocker. 6'5", 227 pounds. Teams that want to run the football are going to look at Lazard and be like, ooh, like, this guy can be a good part of our offense, and why he was always on the field in Green Bay, because he was a good blocker. So if you look at the Packers' former QB coach, Luke Getsy, he's the offensive coordinator in Chicago. Chicago wants to run the football. They need receivers. Alan Lazard would fit in really well. And then I think this is kind of comical to think of it this way, but you know, if the Jets really want Aaron Rodgers, maybe they just bring in Alan Lazard as their, kind of bait him a little bit, reuniting with Nathaniel Hackett, who obviously has ties with Lazard as well. I think that's less likely to happen. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Lazard signs with the Jets and then he's like, yeah, he like hits up Rodgers, like, hey man, like, I'm a Jet. And he's like, and Rodgers like, dude, I'm out, man. Like, it's not happening. So, we'll see. But I think a team is going to probably pay him a decent amount. I think what will shock people a little bit by the price tag, but I think it goes back to the real life value Lazard will offer from a fantasy perspective. He's a beta receiver. Like we saw last year, he took basically when Christian Watson was on the field, like, Lazard was useless in fantasy. But when Lazard was the number one guy by default, he was pretty good. So I think that's kind of what we're going to probably see from him. Not a super high ceiling, but he can step up when other guys get hurt. And he obviously has a presence in the red zone.
And I think not to cut you off, I think another guy that comes to mind when it comes to a big bodied wide receiver that can block, a coach that would like that, I think Bill Belichick. I feel like would stand out to him. And they're going to need somebody. I mean, losing Jacoby Myers, they got Tyquan Thornton is hanging out over there. They don't have a lot of options. And when we're looking at a guy who can block, he's a big body guy.
They refuse to play Kendrick Bourne.
There you go.
I'm glad you cut me off, because all I was going to say is that the Jets, if they really want to attract Aaron Rodgers, should clearly just go get Randall Cobb, right? I mean, been proven.
Dude, he's already signed with the dude. He's already on his way to the Jets.
Jake Kumerow.
Yeah. And then Nick, we only have one tight end, so we'll talk about him here. Dalton Schultz, obviously a guy who has some talent, and there's been hype around him in previous seasons in Dallas, but it just never quite, put it all together. So what do you make of him? Where do you want to see him land? What do you expect from him next year?
I don't think he's in the Dallas plans here. Just seeing they franchise tag Tony Pollard. They have two young tight ends and Jake Ferguson, Peyton Hendershot. We mentioned the Chargers offense. Could he fit in with them? Gerald Everett's still going to be there. So is that a necessary move? Maybe not. But I've seen a lot of people, speak that into existence. So maybe that's a want of some people. I also look at another team we've mentioned a handful of times on this podcast, but TJ Hockenson departed from Detroit. Does Dalton Schultz continue to add to their offense? I know that's been an offense that continues to build and try to get better. Obviously, you're going to have a healthy Jameson Williams. Amon-Ra St. Brown. They're losing Shark. Do we add a tight end, a TJ Hockenson replacement in Dalton Schultz? And He's been a guy that's gotten it done the last two seasons. I think he could be a top seven tight end still in a lot of places that he moves to. But Detroit kind of stands out to me just because they lost a big tight end. Can they replace one?
Erickson, just to ask you quickly on Schultz as well. You know, with the tight end landscape the way it is, like, what is his ceiling if he gets in his best possible landing spot?
I think that he can probably end up being like a fringe tight end 8-7. I just don't want pieces of him. Like, this screams like Austin Hooper 2.0. Like, guy had a lot of production. Guys were hurt in a really pass heavy volume. If he goes anywhere that's not a top five passing offense, then I could see him just totally crumbling. So Dalton Schultz, it's just word to the wise that, like, when you don't have these tight ends without this athleticism to kind of buoy them, they need to have the perfect situation, which he obviously has had the last couple of years in Dallas. But I don't really see a lot of spots where it's going to get better for him, especially now that he's going to be commanding a decent amount of money on the open market.
Guys, we are absolutely crushing it on time. So we are going to sprinkle in some non-skill position players as well as a treat. For the listeners, I don't know why I said treat. This is a fantasy show. They probably don't care as much, but we'll jump into it. One offensive player, offensive tackle, Orlando Brown Jr., former Raven. Nick, obviously the Chiefs did not franchise tag him. Is there a spot you'd like to see him land?
I'd be surprised if they're not making a push to go and get him. But I think we look at offenses that have young quarterbacks. We talk about Chicago a bunch. Like, do they try to protect Justin Fields more? Like, for me as a Bears fan, and also just as a person that wants to see Justin Fields not be sacked and rolling around the ground all the time, like, they have the money. That'd be an ideal landing spot for me. And that'll be the last time I mention Chicago on this podcast. But it makes sense, right? Based off of what they need to do. They need more weapons. They need to protect their franchise quarterback. That makes sense. But I was surprised that they're not making a big push in Kansas City for him to actually be back there.
Yeah, I was a little surprised they didn't franchise tag him too. But I mean, to mention Chicago, it's obviously the easy parallel there is Orlando Brown knows what it's like to block for a really good running quarterback. He did a phenomenal job of it in Baltimore with Lamar, a key piece of some really dominant offensive lines during his time there. So I think that's a really interesting fit. And like we said a couple of times, they certainly have the money for it in Chicago this offseason. Erickson, next guy I want to talk about on the defensive side, Bobby Wagner, who's been this generation's best linebacker, you know, for the last 10 years or so. And I think was still pretty good in LA last year, but they did release him. So he's now in the open market.
Yeah, I think that if we look at his Twitter header, it's the Seattle skyline, guys. So I think he's going back to Seattle because I think he left last year probably thinking like, all right, you know, this team's going to be a dumpster fire. Like, I got to get out of here. And it's like, oh, wait, this team's actually not that bad. Let's go back to Seattle because their defense is horrible. Like, as good as Geno was on offense with the pieces around them, the offensive line was a lot better. Like, their defense is so bad. They need linebacker help desperately, especially defense against the run. Cody Barton was basically their best linebacker last year, and he's hitting free agency. So I think it's a natural fit to you guys. He took a one-year hiatus from Seattle, played for a division rival, was like, you know what? The grass isn't greener in LA. Let's go back to Seattle.
Yeah, he tried to leave a dumpster fire and then winded up joining a dumpster fire. So, yeah, I think that, I mean, yeah, those guys who spend so much time in one city and are such like an integral part of that sports scene, like, it's always really easy to write that narrative of just a return home. Let's move to the secondary. And Nick, just Jesse Bates, the guy who's been a thorn in my side in the AFC North, really good safety. What do you think is going to happen with him?
Just briefly on Bobby Wagner too. I like that Seattle called. Jordan Brooks tore his ACL. They're going to need help there. And it could be like the relationship. I thought I can do better. You're the best I've had. I'm going back to my ex. But with Jesse Bates, the Bills, I think Jordan Poyer, they're expected to lose him. They're going to lose Tremaine Edmonds as well, but they're losing a big piece of their defense with Poyer likely moving on from that safety position. So again, very competitive team needing to replace one of the better pieces of their defense. Go and get Bates because Poyer is going to be gone, who's an older safety as is. So they get a little bit younger with another good safety. It just makes sense to me that they have that swap. It's a one for one with a younger safety.
And then Erickson at cornerback, James Bradbury, obviously a pretty disappointing literal finish to the season this year with the controversial call that he admitted was the correct call to end the Super Bowl. But a guy that the Eagles kind of got on a deal this last season, there wasn't a ton of interest. The Giants weren't able to trade him before releasing him. So what's your prediction for Bradbury?
I think James Bradbury and a lot of these Eagles free agents that are on their defense are just going to go to Arizona, because that's where Jonathan Gannon is. And Arizona has money to burn. They're a rebuilding franchise. So Gannon wants to kind of stamp his impact on this defense. What better way to do that than by just getting a bunch of the guys that were on the Eagles last year that you had the best defense in the league with and bringing them over to Arizona. So I think James Bradbury, Cardinals need a strong perimeter cornerback. He obviously knows the system already with Jonathan Gannon. He was successful in it aside from one play, basically. So I think Bradbury to Arizona makes a lot of sense.
You know, the offseason seems really long, but at the same time, it's like just yesterday, it feels like fantasy seasons were ending and we're already here talking about free agency. We're into March. This is a very fun month of the offseason calendar. April's obviously really fun with the draft. So be sure to stick around with us for Fantasy Pros. You know, really all offseason long, there's not going to be any dips here from our coverage. That's going to wrap things up for us today. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please remember to check out the 2023 Dynasty Draft Kit from Fantasy Pros. For Nick and Erickson, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you guys again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy duty rotisserie or rust resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.